sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with special guest broker Jenny Witten. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Mark.
And our special guest, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage.
Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm ready to hear your music. Cue the music, Mike.
Oh.
There it is. I can't have Dean Riddell.
196-895.
Without his money and talking out of his MLS number there, you're in. It's not MLS number. It's
NMLS number.
NMLS number, which stands for what?
National Mortgage Licensing System.
So every someone who is giving lending out has to have an NMLS number.
That's a great comment. So if you are an independent mortgage banker or a mortgage broker, yes, you do have to have an NMLS number.
Okay.
If you work for a bank or a credit union, your bank or credit union carries that NMLS number. The individual loan officer for that bank or credit union does not have to have pass the certifications.
Okay. So you have a team member with you, which just happens to be your daughter also.
Daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law.
Yeah. Daughter-in-law.
Carly Riddell. Good morning, Carly.
Good morning.
So now, do you have an MLS number? NMLS number. I'm going to get that.
I do have an NMLS number, yes. I'm licensed loan officer.
Okay. And is it different? Is it a different? Do you have your own individual one, or is it under the office number?
Nope, I have my own.
Okay. So what's your number? Give out your number.
Mine is 216-1821.
All right. Well, my MLS number is 180484. I just like saying that.
That's good.
But you guys are required to announce it if you're giving advice or giving that out marketing.
If you're talking rate, you're talking money, numbers, you better be licensed.
Well, yes. It goes right hand in hand with what we're going to be talking about today, which is code of ethics. We are a highly governed area of business in real estate, in lending. There are lots of rules.
Preach.
And so there are things that matter. We're going to talk about what matters for real estate agents, what it matters for lenders. And so this code of ethics really matters a lot. Now, Jenny, you took a class this week on code of ethics, didn't you?
I did. And I think it is something that brings to light that we need to always keep this fresh in our minds and not forget what makes us important and why we are necessary.
Okay, so let's start there. There is a lot of, it used to be you couldn't see any houses for sale unless you were using a realtor, or it was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed. People can go to all sorts of different .com websites and
That's
see.
Right.
And so the question sometimes is, why do I need a realtor? I can see the houses.
Well, and I think that what needs to be brought to everybody's attention is that being a realtor means that we are we held to a higher code or a higher standard than just somebody that is in the industry.
Okay, so what kind of higher standard? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, prime example, if you have a realtor and they're giving you advice that may be on the side and not in everyone's best interest, but hey, we're going to do this deal and this is on the side, and you're questioning, is that right? Should he be doing it? She be doing it? If they're doing it to you, if they're trying to do to them, I would be curious if they were actually doing this to me behind my back.
Yeah.
So it's important for you to be with somebody that knows what they're doing. They're going to be honorable in this business, and they're going to hold to those standards.
Absolutely.
You know, whenever we are on, whether we're helping people sell their house or we're helping people buy a house, we enter into a contract with that person. Becky Ivins has been requiring this of her team for years. And this has become a big deal because this whole new world that we're living in with the settlements that was coming in, a lot of people are now going, oh, you know, that they that a buyer has to have a buyer agreement with the realtor in order for that realtor to show them houses.
That's right.
For us on our team, it's not a change. It's not a...
No, because you've been doing it.
Yeah. Now, Dean, I mean, you work with multiple realtors, and they're dealing with it. Are you hearing from them as far as, like, kind of fear of this whole new world?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. And I think, you know, I'm going to echo what Jenny said. I love our industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should hold ourselves to a different standard than most. You're dealing with in some cases, the most impactful financial decision in their life. As I say to clients every day, with your agent, you've got to find that agent that's not there to sell you a house, that is there to serve and take care of you first. And then eventually you may find that house, and yes, you will buy. But lending-wise, Mark, I mean, I had a lady in my office this week, 70-plus years old, financially, she could do what she wanted to do. She was scared to death to do what she wanted to do. And I was transparent with her and said, you need to pause. Don't go buy right now, because you're talking about your health, your stress, your life. She's single. She's solo, no kids. Mm. Pause it.
Yeah.
I mean, that day will come where you can make that transition. But I want us all, the four of us in this room, to be different, and I think you gotta be polished, professional, transparent, have confidence, and when you do that, we'll survive the NAR.
That's right.
Change, and we've got to be up front.
It is not always about the money.
No, Jenny.
So,
listener, if you want to join the conversation today, you can call into the show. The number is 405-840-1000. Now, Dean, for you guys in a code of ethics, where does that, like, what do you see as far as the hardest thing to keep inside the lines or for lenders? Or
you know, I mean, I think the sore spot that comes up with me, especially in this rate climate today, has been the fair lending aspect, which we touched on, mm-hmm. because it's not, when someone calls and wants a rate, it's not let's make a deal, it's a Friday special, or it's your credit score is something.
That's right.
Your down payment is something. What type of loan are you doing?
Yeah.
Because you can't just arbitrarily rattle off, hey, you're at 6.75, because the next customer that comes in or calls, or you receive an application from, technically, because you should have credit pulled in quoting a rate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't commit a fair lending violation by quoting someone differently than what you quoted, and you get into minority, you get into male, female, I mean, all the different scenarios. You can't commit a fair lending violation. And Jenny, we believe that.
Yes.
We follow that rule.
Yes.
But I will say this industry doesn't always follow that rule. We're going to follow the rule.
So when you hear someone out there, it's really like a state fair barker saying, come in, here there is 5.75, I'll tell you, it's 6.34. And they are not giving any kind of credit scores. They're not giving any kind of discernment of whether that's points and all the different aspects.
Well, but even taking a different step, I heard a speaker this week in the industry on a podcast said, you know, we'll offer free appraisals for people. If you read the letter to the law in our world, if I offer Mark a free appraisal as a buyer, I'm offering all my clients.
You have to, that's right. Yeah, to
yeah,
all.
It's not a pick and a choose.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly right. We'll be right back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We have guest broker Jenny Whitten and SWBC team Dean Riddell and Carly Riddell with us. So, Dean, Carly, let's talk about like giving people out fees. We're talking about ethics in lending and in real estate. And one of the things that I always tell my clients who are looking at different lenders is make sure you are looking at apples to apples comparison over fees. because there's in the past there's been a lot of hidden fees within lending. Mm-hmm. And then what they had Truth in Lending came out in 2000 and something and kind of changed what kind of the way that structured, didn't it? And
right.
So now you have to kind of have that listed out or supposed to.
Yes. So we'll get a call this week. We'll send someone our fee sheet and the rate's 6.75%. And they'll say, well, this lender has me at 6.25%. And we'll say, well, are there any points there? And everyone goes, what's a point? Mm-hmm. So you kind of really need the full fee sheet to see if you're comparing the apples to apples, because you don't know what discount points are on there. You don't know what lender fees they charge versus what we charge. So you really do need that fee sheet to see that. Another good indicator is looking at the APR, which is the annual percentage rate for that first year that you have the loan. That tells a lot about if the fees are good or not, and kind of you can compare from one lender to the next based on the APR, how much they're charging you for that first year.
Why don't you tell them what an APR stands for?
APR is the annual percentage rate. So it takes all of your closing costs and your interest paid on that first year that you have the loan, and it turns it into a percentage rate. So it's not your actual rate, like you hear the rate today is 6.375. It's not your actual rate. It's typically shown a little bit higher than the rate because it counts in all of those closing costs for that first year.
And I think a lot of people are confused when they see that.
Oh, absolutely. There is lots of confusion in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I touched on transparency a while ago, but the point question comes up so frequently because the typical consumer is driven by rate. And so they'll go, Dean, I've got a 5.75% rate. And there's a value to the points that you're paying, because you have to remember points and rate talk to one another. They feed off one another.
I kid you not, I had a client once that I got to closing, and they were telling me how great their rate was, and I actually looked at it. They brought $5,000 mm-hmm. extra to the closing table to pay this rate. And here's the sad part, is that they were in the military. You know they're going to be in that house for 3 years. Now, Dean, do you think they're going to pay that back?
Yep, I agree
with you. It's just gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yep. And I even, and that's a different subject, but on that VA buyer who's going to move in 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. should they even use their VA?
It's definitely something that you question. They have a funding fee. Yep. They have what's called a funding fee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's where, like, sitting down with a local lender that you can walk into mm-hmm. their office, and if you are going to be a buyer, or you have a friend, nephew, grandchild, mother, father, who's going to be a buyer. And I'm just if as a realtor, I want to just shout, find a local lender
that
you can go mm-hmm. into their office.
That's right.
And you go, well, I can do it all on computer, and I don't have to leave my house to do it.
Just call them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there is so many things that go squirrely because of misinformation.
That's right.
From someone who is not a local lender.
Well, there's value in sitting down and having that conversation.
I totally agree.
And they walk you line by line for what you are paying for, which goes back to the settlement.
Right.
Because the realtors were not explaining what those fees were for.
Right.
So, I had a gentleman this week, newer agent, that basically says, so really buyers should call multiple lenders to find out their rate and their fees and their costs. And I said, yeah, or I skinny it down and say, find someone that you can sit down with, trust, have a relationship with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I told him, I said, if you're comparing my rate from 2 weeks ago, the buyer calls and says, Dean, what's your rate? And I say 7.25%. And you wait 2 weeks in this market with rates slipping, and you call ABC today and a different lender, and they go, I'm a 6.75%. You're comparing apples to oranges.
Right.
Because, you know, that's 2 weeks difference in movement in the market.
Well, and I think that brings up a good thing that you need to explain. How often do rates change?
Yeah. Because that's a daily event and through the day. Because if the market's off, we'll have midday rate changes once or twice. And so it's a transparent, professional relationship. Trust who you're doing business with. have that sit down face to face with the agent. You know, your all's job is challenging with online. You still got to get in front of people.
And can I please say, if you have an agent that cannot explain your closing costs, you are not with the right person.
I agree.
If you want to join the conversation, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. Jenny, that is a big thing. So I've talked about lending side things that are missed often in the ethics. This is one of the things that is missed often. In the realtor side, mm-hmm. is when we go to make an offer on a house, and so you're the realtor for the buyer, the contract says that the person is signing, I have been presented with an estimated cost to close.
That's right.
It's in the contract.
That's right.
And so, but so many of them, I've never had a person asks me, number one, because I've always given them an estimated cost to close, mm-hmm. that side. Two, people are overwhelmed at that. You know, they're more concerned about the price, the closing time, the closing, mm-hmm. you know, all that. And, you know, you have to present people with an estimated cost to close prior to ever making an offer.
Well, and it changes too, because let's say, especially during COVID, when we were making multiple offers, you pull that client in, you have a conversation about their down payment, you have a conversation about their closing cost, and if you didn't get the deal, you have to do it all over again. You don't just say, oh, remember we talked about this.
Yeah.
And I have a really good friend that would say, hey, don't you remember COVID times? All they had to do, all the realtor had to do was show up.
Agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing if you're on the sales side and you're helping a client sell their home, is you have an estimated net to seller.
That's right.
That not only do you do the first time you sign the contract with them, but you have to do for every offer that's presented in.
Every offer.
Because an estimated net to seller, it depends on what kind of loan they're doing, or whether they're doing cash, or whether they're going
FHA.
To do. Because those fees change, don't they, according to the...
Yeah, I mean, our standard closing costs remain the same, regardless of loan type, you know, from a buyer perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have your upfront MI on your FHA loans and stuff like that, but cost-wise.
Yeah.
And our biggest challenge with that cost to close or fee sheet is people will bring in their Zillow estimate, okay, and their insurance and... On the fee sheet or loan estimate, yeah. will say $700 a year. And you have clients who are looking at that monthly payment, I get it, and looking at that cash to close, and yet the first-time buyer predominantly doesn't understand the impact of what taxes and insurance do to a monthly payment.
That's right.
And a cash to close.
Yeah.
And that's what they'll look at Cardi and I, and they'll go, your payment's $200 higher than what I'm seeing with Zillow or with online.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, Mark, it'll be that tax and insurance number.
Yeah. And in Oklahoma, the insurance number is I tell people all the time, you can't control taxes except by how you vote. That's about the only thing you can do, control taxes. But insurance, it varies all off the chart, all the way. We have Donna on the line. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
Oh, turn down your radio in the background. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I may have already missed this. You may have addressed this, but I am just wondering, is there a set closing cost for say you have a $300,000 home. Do you have a set amount you can be guaranteed your closing cost would be?
So the question is, you know, if $300,000 closing cost, is there a set closing cost amount? Who wants to answer that?
Well, it depends on what loan, on what the seller can pay on your behalf. But all of our closing costs should be a formula that just gets adjusted per your price point. But I'm going to let Dean chime in.
Price point, I mean, you'll see, you know, when you say a $300,000 loan amount, I'm going to rattle off probably a $4,000 number for closing cost. The part consumers don't totally understand the difference of closing cost and prepaids. Prepaids are the taxes and insurance predominantly.
Yeah.
So for someone who's buying a $300,000 loan, your closing cost may be $4,000, which is appraisal, title, credit, lender, and then probably another $4,500, $5,000 will
for
be
prepaids.
For prepaids.
That's
so it's
right.
It's a $9,000 number in some consumers' mind because they wrap up closing costs, including prepaids. But if you break out the cost piece of it, it's just that $4,000, $4,200 number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Donna, did that help you?
It did. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great question, Donna. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, so all of those, I mean, a lot of people get surprised by insurance and taxes, mm-hmm. thinking, well, what do you, realtor, have to do with insurance and taxes?
That's right. Well, and then let's also not forget, too, that if you purchase a home that has an HOA also affects that payment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You touched on sitting down with people and, you know, insurance and home search, annual insurance premium. That's where I like clients who shop that premium before they write the offer, because if they fool around and that roof is 10 years old,
yeah.
our $3,000 or $2,800 estimate we're using is going to go up.
Yeah.
Most consumers don't understand that.
Yep. Very, very much so. We'll be right back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with guest broker Jenny Whitten and SWBC team Dean Riddell and Carly Riddell. And it is time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Our word of the day today is
transparency.
Nice.
Good word.
So transparency is the quality of allowing light to pass through so that objects behind can be directly seen. I think it's a good word of the day as we're talking about ethics and being honest and transparent with your clients and between realtors and anyone in this industry.
I think it goes back to the code of ethics on what is actually written in there as realtors, that do you know that we're not supposed to talk bad about other realtors either? And Dean, how many times have you seen people come into your office and bash other people?
Yep, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And like I said, we take the stance lender-wise, and it's not in our code of ethics per se, but we're going to be honest and serve God first with,
that's right.
We're not going to put others down. I mean, it's people have a choice to use who they want to use, but I think this transparency word comes into play because most, let's use first-time buyers, second-time buyers,
mm-hmm.
they're still not experts at what we do,
selling
real estate or financing a home. Align yourself with someone who's going to be transparent, open, honest, and walk you through that process.
Well, and I think we as humans, we kind of crumble on a daily basis anyway. So we have to pick ourselves up and make sure that we continue on and be that honest person that we're trying to be, especially in our industry.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yes. I one time had a good friend I was helping her. She had started with another lender and was unpleased with them. So she ended up moving to us. And when she told that other lender that she was moving to us, they were like, oh, they're going to bait and switch you. They're going to do this and this and just dragging down my character. And I never even talked to the person before I met them.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really rubbed me the wrong way, because we're going to be who we are, which is, yeah. like Dean said, serve first, put our clients first. Then that's what's important.
And that's right.
So that really rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, we all have those stories.
We do. Yes. You know, these remind me of the good old Zig Ziglar, which is you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help other people get what they want.
Yes.
Like just have, yeah. if you just put their needs in totally front agree. Of, and that's what happens to realtors, and I'm sure it happens to lenders, is the money can start to take over.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because this also goes back to knowing your costs and what you can afford. Because if you take that poor first-time buyer and you literally bleed their account dry, yeah. they get into this house that they can barely afford, and oh my gosh, the AC goes out.
Right.
And now you have a $6,000 repair.
Yeah.
Have you helped them?
Yeah. 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 And one of the things that we're going to see on the sell side is we're seeing homes are taking longer to sell right now.
Mm-hmm.
The market is shifting.
So it is.
To a normal market.
To a normal. Right. And that's the part of it that it's we have been, you know, for so long, it's been, they've been talking about it's a seller's market, because there's, you know, there's way more buyers out there than sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this year it's been mostly a normal. I mean, it's been kind of, and I will tell you that, and this is the opinion and feeling of Mark, I will say that, okay? So you can take that for whatever you value it as. You can throw it out the window as you drive along the road today. It's shifting, I think, that it's going to a kind of dip into a buyer's market. We're seeing things that just are staying on the market a little longer. And as things stay on the market longer, prices have a tendency to slide down. Now, I don't think there's going to be a dip down.
Well, in your negotiation,
right.
now you have a higher opportunity to go in and negotiate where you didn't before.
Where you didn't before, right.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much negotiating for the past
no.
2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting, it is a shift that is occurring.
But then it goes back to what you said, Dean, when you had a client come in and you said, just pause.
Yeah.
Pause for a moment.
Which I think your air conditioner story is the beauty of financing.
Mm-hmm.
Carly and I, and we do a ton of sit downs with clients.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, I have that sheet on my conference room table right now, where I say, I care less about your house. It's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
I care about your house, your retirement, your emergency fund, your debt. You have two kids sitting here with you right now. Do you have college funds set mm-hmm. aside? We need to touch base and address all of your financial needs. Not
your
just the house.
Well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them in that bad spot.
That's right.
And I think through climates that we're coming out of, I think lenders and realtors, which gets back to transparency, gets back to honest, gets back to integrity, every realtor wants to sell a house.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. We want to finance them all too. But you can't let a poor decision get in your way for the self-satisfaction and greed,
yeah.
if it's not the right move for that client to buy that house or for us to finance it.
I've even had times when you know somebody is not making the right mm-hmm. decision, and you yeah. try to say, okay, do we have this in order? Do we have this? And sometimes you can't stop it either.
Right.
But
you got
it's
it.
Your
you
job.
Got it. It's your job.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
right.
And there's been clients. A week ago, I mean, she had $1.98 in the bank, and her house payment was going to go up $800. She could qualify using down payment assistance money.
Mm-hmm.
We said, stop. You've got $1.98 in the bank.
Mm.
Your house payment's going up $800. Do you think you can, I mean, is this really a good move financially for you? And some people need that guidance. They need that. You know, maybe now's not the time. No, it's not right now. Stop. Pause.
Yeah. The speech I give all the time, or the conversation I have, is I cannot decide what's right for you. My job is to make sure you have the facts to make the right decision you need.
Mm-hmm. And you're aware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so it is a simple of, okay, I'm trying to keep you in the driver's seat, but here's the facts. Here's what's before you. And, you know, you get to that place of, all right, it's not, especially in the negotiation side, don't overcomplicate it. You know, seller's trying to get the most, buyer's trying to pay the least. Do we have overlap?
Well, and it also goes back to when that buyer purchases that house, there are things that we need them to be aware. Say they bought grandma's house that has been living there for, you know, 50, 60 years, and the taxes look really low.
Yeah.
They may be frozen. They're literally budgeting everything off that current tax amount. Lender's not telling them it's going to be reassessed the following year off your new sales price. And now, bam, you mm-hmm. have a huge increase of what your prepaids are going to be.
It's crazy. And that's that
mortgage and insurance.
But that's yep. that sit down. That's where
that's your conversation.
And we bring that stuff up.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had someone that we helped this last week. It was our teammate Judy's client, who person who had been a renter for all their life and had no desire to be a homeowner. That was just, but had a family member who had special needs who she chose to take care of a family member. And because of that, she needed a home that would be adequate for that family member, and that required purchase.
Hmm.
Beautiful story. I mean, just beautiful story. And so I started talking with her and realized there was things that she didn't know in the process about what home ownership is, even though, you know, you think, well, man, I mean, she's a very intelligent person, but have never thought about homestead, has never thought, you know, about pricing insurance each year. Mm-hmm. It's not something, and that's where the ethics of mm-hmm. talking with people.
Let me tell you too, everybody that's getting a new roof, you need to go ahead and get new quotes on insurance.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know, on insurance, the lady who was in my office this week, you know, she said, rate. I was telling her. And I said, but what's your insurance on your home now? She said, it's $6,000 annually.
Mm.
And I said, you know what my sore spot in lending is, people are so driven by the rate that they control that insurance premium.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't keep up with it.
No, I know.
And so that insurance premium, in reality, can make financially more of an impact to payment by far.
Absolutely.
Than the rate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The rate becomes your focus. And then you open their eyes, and then you're fully, you're taking care of them. You're saying, don't go to the cheapest. I'm not cheapest is the best guy.
Well, but it goes back to the investors. Mm-hmm. A lot of the insurance companies are pulling out just if you have an investment mm-hmm. property. They don't want to cover you.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband and I swapped a bunch of policies over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's transparency, honesty, integrity, lender-wise, realtor-wise. We got to set ourselves apart.
It's full circle.
Yeah.
We're in the same family.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be a life. It should be, regardless of industry, it should be part of life.
I tell you, there's two things I will honestly tell people that I do not dramatically understand. One is insurance rates, why one insurance company is higher than the other mm-hmm. and why it changes. It seems to change from year to year. And the other one is the mortgage rate. Like it feels like this imaginary number floating out there that you kind of get the idea whether it's heading up or down, but everybody's kind of waiting on it, like the tooth fairy coming in.
And talk about rate real quick, because the end of this week, rates improved, and everyone projects rates to slip. And so my phone rang multiple times yesterday. Do I need to refinance? Stop. Just pause. Wait. I think it's going to continue. I think we're going to see continued rate improvement.
Here's the great question, Dean, that I would love to make you answer that I won't, is why do rates always seem to slip right before a big presidential election? All right, we're going to break. We'll be right back with more right here in Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Our special guest, broker Jenny Whitten, and our special guest, Dean Riddell and Carly Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. And it is time for our Smoking Hot Deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, no.
Our Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn on 63rd, just west of Meridian at 505 East Main Street in Yukon. And on May, just north of Hefner Road. All right, this week, our smoking ideal, we got a great one for you, so listen up. This is an addition that not a lot of houses come up for sale, and there's quite a lot of people who want to be in it, okay? So it's the Meadows at Riverbend. It's on Stinchcombe Road, 7301 Stinchcombe Road. It is a three-bedroom, two-bath, built in 2011, just over 2,000 square feet. Really, really pretty. Listed at $348,000. I don't think this will be on the market long because told you kind of market slowing, but what's happening is great neighborhoods are still selling.
They are.
Greatly.
They are.
I mean, that's just the facts. So this is a normal market. You're in a popular neighborhood. It sells quickly. This is a popular neighborhood. So you can go to BeckyIvins.com, BeckyIvins.com. Click on search listings and you'll see 7301 Stitchcomb Road right there listed at $348,000. That's our smoking hot deal brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. On the line, we have Ann on the line this morning. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question about something that you said. I'm not sure I got it down right. You said something about when you get a new roof, go ahead and get a new quote on insurance.
Jenny, I'll let you take that one. Yeah, that's
yes, that's
great.
Right, because your roof could have been 10 years old and your insurance is going up because of the age of the roof as well as the depreciation on the amount that they want to pay to have your roof replaced. Well, now they can give you a credit for a brand new roof. So absolutely get out there and start calling people.
To get a quote on the roof, is that what you're saying?
Well, you'll find out that it may be cheaper than what you're paying now.
Oh, you mean on total insurance?
Yes.
Total insurance, that's correct. So let's say you're paying $1,000 a month. Well, this would be in everybody's lucky world, but if you're paying $1,000 a year on homeowner's insurance, but now you have a new roof, now it could be $800 a year.
I see. Okay. All right. That's after you get a new roof.
That's correct. Right. After it's replaced.
I see. Okay. I didn't understand the after. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you all. You're so good.
Thanks, Ann, for calling in. Appreciate you. So that's a big point, that insurance companies deal with new roofs differently, and they change every year. Like, for example, a discount on if it's a Class 4 shingle.
That's right.
Discount. That's changing. There's a lot of insurances have dropped.
They have
given
stopped
that discount.
Giving that discount.
Right. There's other ones that have changed from doing that to giving a discount to a new roof.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll give you a discount just because it's brand new.
That's right.
So that's where call.
And it's reminders for the buyers that come in, because we do. We say, go get an insurance quote before you write the offer so we know the math.
Yeah.
So let's say they get a quote for $4,000 a year. They write a contract. Through the home inspection part, a new roof comes up. We're communicating back to that buyer. Go back to your agent.
Go back.
Because you're going to have a new roof on that home prior to closing as compared to that $4,000 quote you received.
Well, and you know what? I think that also brings up a good point, too. If you have a roof that you have bought in as-is condition and it is covered in hail damage, you absolutely have to reach out to your insurance company, because after closing, I have seen the insurance companies go out, especially to the condition of the property, and now all of a sudden they're saying, you replace this roof, you have 30 days to do it, or we're going to drop you.
Yeah,
and I struggle with that, but we've had that too.
So be aware.
That's a big one as far as we've talked about ethics in realtor behavior of when you come to the inspection time period, if you're not telling your client that you have to, during that inspection, insurance has to be a big part of that inspection over, is this house insurable? Because I can't tell you whether the house is insurable.
Right. No. And here's the thing that just drives me crazy is, what kind of an insurance agent do you have when they're not even willing to drive out to the property and let you know if it's insurable prior to close?
Yeah. So during that inspection period, you have to have a idea coming out of that of what insurance is going to be. And is this house insurable? Has there been an insurance claim on it that's been paid out, but the work hasn't been done? That's a big thing.
It is.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. So
if they've collected that money on that roof, you're not going to get it.
There is all sorts of things that go squirrely with that.
You know, and Jenny, on the roof or on the keeping the check, yeah, that's the sore spot, because at SWBC, we service our loans, okay? So my phone, Carly's phone, it rings off the wall when people have an insurance check that needs to be endorsed. There's a reason behind that. You know, because people will cash that check, go to Hawaii for a summer vacation, and never fix the roof. And now that's why there's that layer of we have to endorse that we got to make sure the roof's being done before we release those funds. But
well,
it's a sore spot.
Them
it
in
is.
The long run.
It is. I mean, it's an inconvenience, yes, because you have to mail the check out of state.
Mm-hmm.
So people are hesitant.
You know, this what kind of goes into what people forget is if you're buying a house with your money, your own money, you've saved up $300,000, that's about the average home of, price of a home, and you're paying out of your pocket, you don't have to have insurance.
Right.
You don't have to get it appraised. You don't have to do a whole lot of stuff because it's your money.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But if you're using someone else's money through a loan or through a loan, mm-hmm. then there's requirements of that.
Yep.
You know, most lenders, you require an appraisal as part of the not 100%,
right.
but most of the time
right.
it's that. And you require them to carry insurance because it's someone else's money.
Absolutely. But we're also trying to protect them, too. You know, on the financial
right.
side.
That's right.
That we're not backing them into a corner, too. But good point. I had an agent 20 years ago, and a buyer was squawking because lender needed A, B, C, D, and E.
Yeah.
And Greg looked at him and said, do you have $180,000? And he says, no. He said, well, then you need to give him A, B, C, and D, and E. You know, I mean, if you don't have, you know, just you got to do it.
You know, and this comes down, and here's the conversation I have over and over again with people. This also comes down to the rate. And I wish, you know, if you've been a longtime listener to this show and you've heard Dean talk about this, you know that if you take the last 100 years and you break it up by decades, the average rate is about, what, 7.2?
Well, the average rate for the last 40 years is 7.75.
That's it. So that's the average. That is kind right. of a normal.
Right.
We are actually totally in agree. A normal. The 2 and 3%, if you're the buyer, of course you want 2 and 3%. But let me ask you this. If it was your money that you're letting someone else use, would you want a 2 or 3% return
mm-hmm.
on letting them purchase a home, which is actually a pretty risky investment mm-hmm. as far as investments go?
Well, and let's not forget, until you pay that home off, it's not your home.
It is. There is a lien that's on it.
That's right.
Called a loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
there. So the part that going, you know, people go, I can't wait to get back to 3%. I'm going, if we get there, it means something really bad is happening in the world.
I agree.
I mean, that's COVID was right. happening. It yeah. was bad. We don't want that again with it.
I'd love to see us land in that 5, 5.5. I mean,
I think that's fair.
I do too. It's a good
it
number.
Is.
It's a great
it,
number. The 2s and 3s.
There seems to be a kind of tide between that 6 to 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there is kind of a normal tide.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're going to have a full moon that brings a higher tide of above that. And we saw way above that in the 80s. And I always right. ask people that go, I want to go back to the 80s. Let's make the 80s was awesome. 1984, the rate was almost
19%. Yeah, 18%. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The highest point.
And some of those were adjustable rate loans at 16, 17%. Seriously. I mean, so there's nothing wrong, guys, with the 7% rate.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, Dean, why don't you talk about what an adjustable rate is?
Oh, we're at one. We're at one.
We're at one.
Yeah.
An adjustable rate loan, and I'm not a fan of it because that is something that, you know, there'll be a 5-year ARM, adjustable rate mortgage, which is going to be fixed for that first 5 years.
And then it changes.
Years, and then it changes.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not seeing those right now, are we? Yeah.
I mean, you kind of did when rates doubled, when rates spiked 2.5 years ago.
See them on the investment side.
I want to thank Jenny Whitten to be with us and SWBC Mortgage, Dean Riddell, Carly Riddell. You can give them a call at 405-858-7770. Thanks for being with us.
May each day in the week be a good day. May the Lord always watch over you. And may all of your hopes And may all of your wishes come true. May each day in the month.